Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
But I mean,
no,
we got this big game tonight.
Schedule for these guys.
Yep.
Man, we got this gigantic game tonight. It's Spurs and Knicks.
Is this cup thing working?
Is it working?
Yes.
It is?
Players care. Fans care. Yes.
They do?
Yes, it's working.
Look
at the San Antonio Spurs injury report. You see anybody on there? Nope. They're treating this like it matters. Same thing with the New York Knicks. History has shown you that if you advance deep into the NBA Cup, it's something that you can use to kind of like take the next step as an organization. The Indiana Pacers advanced far. They went to the NBA Finals. You look at San Antonio, they could certainly be a team that contends in the Western Conference. The New York Knicks could certainly be a contender in the Eastern Conference. So I definitely think that players care about this, and I do think that it is meaningful. There's probably a few things that they have to work through to try and get it exactly the way that they want it. But yes, players have cared more about these kinds of elevated games at a time where most guys are waiting until Christmas to start caring.
Oh, wait, I thought the NBA season did start on Christmas.
So that's Chris, where I am. Chris.
Jeff gets mad when I say that.
You teed him up, Chris.
Jeff used to get mad when I'd say, you know, you really only need to watch the last 3 minutes of a game.
Oh, my God.
That we spent the first 4 years of the show where I'd be like, Jeff, why are you wasting your time watching the first or second quarter in the NBA? Just watch the end. And then Chris, the Cavs got good, and then I changed my mind.
Sorry, Jeff. Sorry, it's the truth.
Sorry, pal.
Thank you.
All right, so riddle me this one, my friend.
Yeah.
Darius has been out. He comes back kind of. Evan Mobley goes out. He's going to be out a couple of weeks. And they're just kind of plodding along. Is that okay? Because it's kind of an inverse to what happened last year, and last year didn't end well. You know what I mean?
I think it's really difficult, guys, right now to judge the Cavs and make any kind of definitive declarations on the Cavs.
Agreed.
Because of what they're missing. And it doesn't mean that all these injuries that they're dealing with at the beginning of the season excuse their poor, inconsistent play. And when their poor, inconsistent play happens, I think you're right to call it out. I think you're right to criticize. But making sweeping declarations about whether or not they can win a championship, whether or not they can win the Eastern Conference, that's not for right now because you're not watching the team that you expected coming into this season. And it's a real reason for the record that they have right now. They just haven't been missing, you know, some of these random guys scattered throughout the course of their roster, right? And we're talking about significant impact players that made a difference in them winning 64 games last year. That's what they're missing. Max Strus is a starting caliber wing who hasn't played a single game. Darius Garland was an all-star last year. He's less than 100%, clearly less than 100% when he actually does play. Jared Allen has missed time. He played every single game last year. Evan Mobley, everybody understands his importance. So, yeah, I think it's a reason for the record that they have, and I think it's a reason for the inconsistent play that they have. Now, that's uncontrollable. There are controllables that they're not controlling. There are things in their control that they're not doing at a high enough level on a consistent basis that starts to worry you a little bit because this is the time of year where you're supposed to be developing championship habits. This is the time of year where you're supposed to be leaning into your identity. This is the time of year where you're supposed to be finding more answers than raising more questions. And it's just not happening for these guys.
Chris, there are just too many nights I turn on and I'm just watching. I'm like, okay. And then we get to the end of the game and all they want to do is jack up threes. It's a hard watch when they start missing. It just is. And it's just like, I want them to fix that, but I don't know that they're going to change. Tell me, will that change? Is that always going to be the game plan, that the only way we're getting back in this thing late in the game is by jacking up threes? When there are times when it just seems like there are other open shots and they can move the ball. Maybe this is just a simpleton conversation, but it's hard to watch sometimes.
Guys, I don't think the Cavs know who they are, and I think they're trying to figure that out. Look, if you turn on a Detroit Pistons game, you know exactly what you're about to watch. They're going to be the hardest playing team out there. They're going to beat you up physically. They're going to defend their butts off, and they're going to give Cade Cunningham the ball and have him run a whole bunch of pick and roll stuff. That's who they are. That's their identity. If you turn on an OKC game, you know exactly what you're about to watch, because they have an identity. They lean into it, and they believe that what they do is better than what you do. And you can go down the list, the Boston Celtics, the Indiana Pacers last year. Who are the Cavs? How are they trying to play basketball? Last year, you could just turn on a basketball game and you could say, that's Cavs basketball.
Yep.
All these things that I'm seeing, the flow within the offense, the multiple actions within the offense, the nonstop movement, yes, the threes, but the driving kicks and stuff like that, the defensive effort and intensity that they were playing with, the switchiness on defense that they were playing with, you could turn on the game and you could say, yes, that looks like Cavs basketball. I don't know who they are this year, and I don't think they know who they are this year. And I think they're still trying to figure that out. They say that they want to be this defense-first team. They say that defense is their identity. They're 10th in defense, and they have all these lapses in concentration. They have all these defensive breakdowns. They can't keep anybody out of the paint. Their point of attack defense is wretched. Don't close out properly. So there's so many different things that you see throughout the course of this season. And I know it's early and it's only December and we're not even at Christmas yet. But if you say that you're a defensive – Oklahoma City is a defensive-minded team, right? They play to that identity on a nightly basis. You can't say that you're a defensive-minded team and allow the Washington Wizards, without four of their top eight leading scorers, to have their third-best offensive performance all season long. Right, you can't say that you're this defensive-minded team and you have these point-of-attack breakdowns over and over and over again. You can't say that you're a defensive-minded team and then have a brain fart late in the game where you don't foul Brandon Miller when everybody on the bench is telling you to foul Brandon Miller so that he can't attempt that three-point shot. You can't have all of these kinds of lapses in focus and concentration and effort and all these different breakdowns, and then turn around and say, well, we're a defensive-minded team. There's no evidence that you're a defensive-minded team. And their offense is not as prolific as it was last year, where they were setting records for franchise history and records across NBA history. So I think they're still trying to figure out who they are and what's going to be best for them, given the personnel on this team.
Who have you liked? Who has stepped up and maybe impressed you more than you thought? Is it Tyson? Is it Proctor?
Well, Jalen Tyson has had the season that everybody inside this organization was forecasting for DeAndre Hunter. DeAndre Hunter's been bad. The Cavs are a significantly better basketball team by numbers with DeAndre Hunter off the floor than with him on the floor. And I definitely think that the Cavs have to do some reevaluation on how they use DeAndre and whether it's time to once again put him back in his six-man role, where, by the way, he had a career year for the Atlanta Hawks before he got traded here to the Cavs. And sometimes guys are just better in a six-man role than they are as a starter, and that's okay. Lots of guys make a lot of money doing that. Lots of guys make a great living doing that, and lots of guys have a great career doing that sort of thing. So I do think it's something that the Cavs have to explore. But, you know, for Jalen Tyson to emerge like this into a true 3-and-D player, somebody who is one of the most prolific outside shooters that they have by number so far this year, not trying to do too much on the offensive end of the floor, willing to take the challenge defensively of trying to guard the opponent's best player, picking up full court, those kinds of things, rebounding the basketball the way that he did when he was at Cal, those kinds of things are really, really important for this team that is a high-priced team that has a bunch of limitations on what they can do from a salary perspective because they're in the second apron. Having a guy like Jalen, who is one of their leaders in minutes, one of their leaders in impact on the kind of team-friendly contract that he has, that just opens up more possibilities. So forget like just the on-the-court stuff. Like finding that kind of high-level potential rotational player in the kind of salary situation that the Cavs are in, it really, really helps from a team-building perspective, and it helps when it comes to potential moves that they want to make at the trade deadline, potential moves that they want to make after the season. So he has been great, and everybody said, you know, throughout the offseason that DeAndre Hunter was the offseason MVP, and he was going to have this big breakthrough while he was in the starting lineup. Like, that hasn't happened. Jalen Tyson has been the better, more consistent player, and he deserves an opportunity, even when this team gets close to full strength, if it ever does. He deserves an opportunity to keep a significant role and be a little bit higher on the depth chart than I think a lot of people anticipated.
Chris, last question. What are you serving at your NBA Cup party tonight?
Yeah.
Whatever Chicago is going to give me. I've got to figure out what restaurant I'm going to go to for dinner. I've got, you know, I've got lunch planned out for tomorrow. It's the same game day lunch for me every time I go to Chicago. I go to Au Cheval Diner, which is just one of the best burgers that you're ever going to have across the country. Period, point blank. And I eat. Everybody knows that I eat. So, you know, I don't just throw these things around flippantly. So that's what I have for my game day meal. But tonight, I have to figure it out. I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to do.
Do you stay downtown or no? Or do you stay closer to the arena?
No, I stay on Magnificent Mile.
Oh, okay.
Where all the action happens.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Oh, we'll be seeing you at the Cheesecake Factory. You'll be hanging out down there.
This is no offense, but there isn't a single person that wants to stay close to the United Center.
Oh, my goodness. I thought maybe you might have stayed off-site. You never know. All right.
I traveled to Chicago, and I said, oh, my goodness, we're never doing this again.
Yeah, it wouldn't take long to figure that out. All right, go do some holiday shopping while you're out there, too. Bring me back something. All right. Nice little gift.
Bring me back something.
Yeah, what are you looking for?
A snow globe.
You want a Shador jersey?
No,
is
I want,
that
a,
what you want
a little. No, I want a little, just a Chicago snow globe. That'll work. It'll work.
Oh, there you go.
Goodbye.
Okay. I might be able to handle that
no,
one.
No, don't. I'm just teasing you. Otherwise, never mind. I'll let it go. Thanks, buddy. Chris. Talk to you soon, man.
You got to guess.
He's the man. Make sure you read him, Chris Fedor, every day. PlayDealerCleveland.com. You worried about the Cavs? Anybody worried? Or are you like me? You're like, yeah, is Christmas here yet? Okay, the NBA season has started.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Jeff, as we start to sink our teeth into the season, and I know I laugh when I just say I don't believe it. It feels like the season doesn't start till Christmas.
No.
But when he said,
Dan, can you believe Andy said that?
Is that blasphemy or something?
Wow. Never heard you say that before, Andy.
Nope. All right, breaking news over here.
Who believes the NBA? All right, we'll play this game. Who believes the NBA season doesn't start until Christmas? 216-474-0092. Want to play that game? We'll go down that road.
Is this like turning into an AA thing where I have a bunch of people call up going, hi, my name is Paul. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
And I haven't watched a single dribble of the NBA until Christmas.
And that would make sense. Unless you're into the cup. It's just so weird, Jeff. Every time we talk to somebody about this NBA cup, people, they're like, oh, players are into it. Everybody's great. It's all great. Maybe just because I thought we got robbed the first year we were in this NBA cup. I didn't think it was fair. I didn't like the way it was set up. And if Cleveland can't be in the finals, I don't care.
All
when
I know
it comes
is
to something
floors,
like this that early.
The floors look like video games. So they got that going for
do
them.
Do they have to do that every game?
I think
can we move forward?
The Lakers said, just played a cup game and played it on the regular floor.
Yeah, because they had a problem. Somebody had a problem with their floor.
Terrible.
To not have the right floor
how
in there?
How can you do that? Hey, the NBA's trying with the cup.
Could you see the equivalent of that in any other sport? Like what? Like I'm thinking about Major League Baseball. Like baseball's a long season too, but they don't. Should they drop the World Baseball Classic in the middle of the season?
Oh, they could.
I'd be in. Work for hockey.
Yeah,
I did kind of work for. Well, that's the Olympics though. No, that's the other one. Yeah, you're right.
It was for hockey.
Wow, should baseball drop the World Baseball Classic into the middle of the season? There's just no way. There's no way they
teams
would ever do that.
Teams
no, there's
never
no
let
way
you
teams
do
would do it.
Yeah.
There is no way.
It'd be awesome, though.
Hitters, maybe. Pitchers, no.
It's going to be, I mean, the World Baseball Classic is always a blast. And
yeah.
It would be cool if they dropped it in the middle of the season like the Nations Cup.
Could you do the minor league, could you do like a minor league tournament kind of thing that you could blend into the regular, that you would have an automatic spot in the playoffs if you won?
Oh, God, no. No.
One thing,
put no stakes on anything.
One thing Chris just said about the
Cavs. He
doesn't
care about my baseball thought.
Not really.
No, I know.
But one thing Chris just said. You know, it's tough to see what their identity is right now, and it's tough to draw conclusions. And let me draw this conclusion. Last year, we saw what happened to a really, really, really good regular season team.
Yep. That's why I don't care until Christmas
was,
right now.
That was really hot at the beginning of the season. It set the tone for the rest of the year, but it meant very little once they got to the playoffs. And I've been a while since I've dropped this line, but years ago, I was covering the NBA All-Star game in Houston. And
ding.
No, it's not a ding, but I picked up knowledge that stuck with me to this day.
Here it is.
And it was weird because it's the NBA All-Star game,
mm-hmm.
and I'm covering it for Channel 43 because the Cavs had three or four All-Stars.
And they played favorites too. Remember those?
We did. Yeah. And, you know, went into the locker room. Can you imagine this now? Michael Jordan's just, you know, putting on his shirt, and I went up to Michael, and I was the only one there. That was the weird thing. I'm the only guy.
No one was covering it? Or?
No, but nobody was talking to Jordan. The locker room wasn't crowded. And I talked to him about the Cavs a little bit, and then I went over and I talked to Kevin McHale. And McHale dropped this one on me because I said, hey, Cavs are blah, 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 blah. And he said, yeah, that's well and good. He said, the teams that are hot in March and April are the teams to really look out for. And that's why you shouldn't freak out about the Cavs right now.
Because Kevin McHale said so.
No, but because I've learned that his advice was absolutely on the money.
He was 100% correct as far as looking at the Cavs last year.
Yeah, if you're not hot in March and April and you go into the playoffs, you're probably not going to do very well. And I thought he was right. The Cavs have tons of time to get it together and figure things out. And you can be sure if they're playing really well come March and April, they're going to be a real threat in the Eastern Conference. And take Detroit. Detroit's having the Cavs kind of start.
Yep.
From last year.
Yep.
And JB, congratulations for that. They're 21-5 in the first place. Doesn't matter. If they get to February and, you know, Cade Cunningham pulls a hamstring and can't play for 2 months, and then they get all out of whack. And then he comes back in time for the playoffs, but they haven't gelled and they're out in the second round. So as much as you might want to think, oh my God, what's wrong with the Cavs? Be a little patient. Give them some time. Hopefully they can get healthy and then figure it out.
All right, I'll buy that now, but I do think, let's see, Mobley comes back in about a month. So let's just call it.
Hopefully 3 weeks. Yeah. Hopefully.
All right,
let's maybe
just,
two.
Let's be conservative. Let's go.
Let's say a month.
Let's go January 15th, January 14th, somewhere in there.
Yep.
So that gives you between January 14th and February 5th to not freak out because February 5th is the trade deadline.
Yeah, which, again, I don't know the answer to it.
It's about a three-week period.
We could talk with Chris for an hour on it, and I'd still not
I don't know what they can do and what they can't do.
What can you do? What can you not do? Yeah. Because with the Cavs being in the second apron and being so financially handicapped when it comes to this, you know, credit to Dan Gilbert, they're willing to spend. And that's not an issue.
Yeah, but is that going to be frustrating for this team?
It's pretty.
It might be.
Where they are, it's pretty easy. You can do one-for-one trades. That is it. You cannot put multiple players together in a trade. You cannot put picks in.
So you can do
only
like,
go one-for-one, and whomever you get back has to make less money than the guy you traded.
So could you do Mitchell for Giannis?
No, Giannis makes more money than Mitchell.
Yeah.
So now that might sound easy.
Well, I'm just saying for fans to figure out.
I understand that. What I was going to say is that might sound easy, but try making a trade with those restrictions that improves your basketball team.
That's your problem.
You can do it.
It's almost like taking the power out of the ESPN trade machine.
But
it's like you're unplugging it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good luck with that. For instance, Chris just said DeAndre Hunter is not having a very good year. Well, what if you want to move on from DeAndre? Can you find a guy better than DeAndre who's making less money?
That another team would want to move on.
Another team would want to move on from him.
I think that's the hardest
part. And they would take on the extra money of DeAndre Hunter.
That's your problem.
That's the little, and you can find it. You just go over every roster. Who would you like? Who wouldn't you like? Go through it that way. But then good luck getting the other team to buy in.
That's the last part, you know? Yeah.
Like, for instance, you couldn't do that and say, and we'll throw in Tyrese Proctor. You've liked the way he shot the three, right?
And are your eyes going back and forth like they are in real life here?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, just make
that's. I mean, that's how deals are usually made in the NBA, by being able to tweak and throw in and blah, blah, blah. And the Cavs aren't going to have the opportunity to do apparently much of that.
All right, so at what point do you freak out about this roster at all?
After the All-Star break. After the All-Star break. You know my thoughts on it. They haven't changed since they brought in Donovan Mitchell. And I don't think they're going to do anything about it. But I think if it doesn't work this year, they better. And that is, you know, I don't like the fit of Darius and Donovan together.
You never have.
No, and doesn't mean they can't figure it out and win. They can. But I was talking to one of our former coworkers here, and he said to me, "You might not remember this, the day that they brought in Donovan Mitchell, I asked you, what do you think? And you said, I don't like two small guards. And I thought, I told you that then? He goes, yep. I said, yeah, well, hasn't changed. He said I was going downstairs to buy soup.
Oh, probably. Not a surprise. Yeah, I mean, you went out of your way to do that. I wonder what this team's going to look like after the Christmas break. And then the thing that kind of always lurks around this time of year.
Lurks.
Is that, okay, so if you can't trade out the players, and I know this is, we had a team where they fired a coach that was in first place after going to the NBA Finals the next year. Like, I wonder if you can't make a move.
This organization makes bold moves.
Yeah, they don't question it. I don't want to think Kenny's in any trouble. But, I mean, they did have a players-only meeting last week, right? And from the reports, and I think Chris had one of the reports, that said, you know, it was a pretty rough meeting as they went through film talking about exactly what they were doing and how they were getting stuff done. And then if you can't change the players, there's only one other thing left to do. And it'd be really hard for me to see that. But you have to wonder, you know, they're sitting, 15 and 12 now. They're in seventh. They're in that stupid play-in spot instead of being in a regular spot. Is that something that should be on the table? I mean, I don't know why you would look at the coaching staff and say, here we are, especially, you know, although Coach of the Year doesn't mean a whole lot on this show today, does it? Even if you had it twice.
It doesn't mean a whole lot to our listeners.
No.
Coach of the Year.
The only reason I say that is because of history. History makes me think if they think they can't fix any of the players, just go right for the coach.
He's done a fine job. Don't even.
I think he has too.
Don't even think about it.
But you got to remember You got to remember the organization.
Don't even think about it.
All right, I'm going to think about it. You know that.
I know you are.
And you know I'm not crazy when I say that. Organization.
I know you're crazy.
Okay, well that's good. As long as you think I'm crazy. But I wonder. Like, this organization isn't scared to make moves like that. If they thought that no matter where they are, if they're not, I, I, Where do you want to be at the trade deadline? Like, okay, so you're sitting in seventh now. Where should this team be?
Unfortunately.
And maybe it would just be as easy as moving the ball at the end of the game instead of trying to throw up 10 million threes.
Unfortunately, Andy, I think it's unfortunate because it diminishes the regular season to me to a level that it's disappointing. I'll just leave it at that. 10 teams are going to play postseason basketball in each conference.
Right, 20. Yeah.
That means two-thirds of the league will be playing some type of postseason basketball. So the Cavs are going to be one of those teams, and if they're playing well in March and April, they'll have a great chance. Avoid the play-in tournament. If you can get home court in the first round, that's great too. And otherwise, it doesn't, I hate to say it, it doesn't really matter. I hate the fact that so many teams get into the playoffs. I know it's worked for the NBA. I know it, you know, fans like it, players like it. We're in the postseason. Well, almost everybody's in the postseason. The teams that aren't really stunk. And to me, it diminishes the regular season. And it's one of the reasons why you have so many guys sitting out for rest. You know, hey, I'm not going to play on the second night of a back-to-back. I hurt my elbow a year and a half ago, so I need the rehab for it. You know, I've got to rest up my elbow. I hurt it a year and a half ago.
All right, let's. We'll talk a little bit more about the Cavaliers. Got some other stuff going on here, too. Don't give me that
look. Menigan looked at me and went, I heard it a year and a half ago.
I know. Well, we did.
It hurts every time I do this. Oh. I got to sit out.
Stop doing that.
I am.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about the Cavs when we come back here. I got some other stuff I want to throw out your way, too.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.